Matthew. We were in Luke last week as we looked at Mary and the announcement that the angel gave to Mary, and then how that Mary responded, the Magnificat, the song of Mary, how she blessed the Lord because the news had blessed her soul. And you know what? Isn't that a great thing that we ought to do? As we see and feel and know that the Lord has blessed us, what should we do with that? Turn back into praise. Turn all of that into praise unto the Lord. So now we're going to see from Joseph's side a little bit the message that came to him and how he handled the announcement. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse number 18 through 25. And you just stood, and I guess we won't have to have you stand, but if you will, read and follow along. If not, read loudly if you'd like to, or read aloud if you'd like to. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse number 18. Ready? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. So Christmas, according to that text, is about the name of Jesus. Christmas is Christ time. That's what the word means, right? It's time for Jesus. It's time to celebrate Jesus. That's what it is. I can't add anything to that, and we should never take anything away from it, but we should definitely utilize and use our time, opportunities we have here at this time of year to honor the name of Jesus. Wouldn't you agree with me that there's a difference between saying to somebody, Happy Holidays, and saying, Merry Christmas? I'm not against saying Happy Holidays, because right on the tail of Christmas is New Year's, and let's celebrate, and if you need to make a New Year's resolution, and if you need to drop a few pounds or start some good habits, man, that's all good stuff. And I'm not against the fact that they generalize it into a holy day time. I'm for that. I'm just not for removing the name of Christ from Christmas. Amen. And I think it's good for the church not to get caught up in any kind of mindset of political correctness when it comes to Jesus' name. Leave all that out. It's about Jesus. We would not even have this end of the year celebration if it weren't for Jesus. So have your celebrations, but include the name of Jesus. And so we preach to you today, Christmas, what's in a name? Father, if you will be so gracious to bless us today with ears to hear, we will know that the Spirit of God will speak to us as we open the Word. Father, if you'll be extra gracious to me to allow me to speak the words which you have given me, I will glorify your name to the best of my ability, and I would ask that you forgive any lack thereof and help me to concentrate and to have my mind upon you so that these dear people can hear and know what it is that God would have them to hear and know. Father, may we all glorify you at Christmas time. you've given us a great opportunity to show our love to other people, but it's only because you first loved us that we could even have this love. And it's only because God is love that we would have anything other than what Mr. Scrooge had. I pray that we'll show the love of Christ, especially at Christmas time. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, last week, after Mary heard the word of the angel, the word of the Lord, she did that which was right in the sight of God. And we know that Joseph did too. But, can I say this? It may have been harder for Joseph to do the right thing than for Mary. Now, if that sounds male chauvinistic, I don't mean to be that way, right? I just know that the circumstances and the day that the circumstances happened in for a man who was espoused and yea, even considered in the espousal and the engagement to be the husband, to find out that his dear young bride was already pregnant. That was something you couldn't hardly wrap your mind around. And yes, I agree that for Mary to realize, oh my goodness, you mean there's something growing inside of my womb and I haven't been with the man, but yet I'm trusting you said it was the Holy Ghost. That was, it was just insurmountable all the way around. But both of them, Mary and then Joseph, listened to what the word of the Lord said, used the faith that they had to trust God in so doing, and now we have a beautiful example of a man and woman who responded correctly to the word of the Lord, responded in faith and trust, and did all the things that God told them to do, and because of that, we have a Savior, and because of that, we have a beautiful Christmas story. And because of that, we're here at this season right now. So thank the Lord for Mary and Joseph. No other time of the year stirs up more emotions than Christmas time. Even in nations and cultures that are not known to be Christian, this holiest of holidays is celebrated in one fashion or the other. You realize in China, they celebrate Christmas. Now, they do it differently than we do it, but they still celebrate this time of the year when a God came and supplied the needs through love and gifts to their people. Some far-out tribes in third world nations and even Africa have a similar type of celebration where they exchange gifts. Now, they don't know, maybe, that Jesus was the greatest gift ever given and therefore is the reason why we do it, but likenesses of what we do at Christmas time is shared throughout the world, and it's all done at this time of year. Some would contend that the Virgin Mary is the reason that Christmas is celebrated so much. Others would argue that the angelic visit and the Annunciation is the jewel that makes Christmas sparkle. Some people believe that the lowly stable and the manger and the sheep and the ox and the shepherds and the wise men, the gifts, all paint the prettiest picture of Christmas. But those of us who know Jesus personally, those of us who have had our lives changed by the glorious gospel, we know that Christmas, beyond all those things, is simply Jesus. No other name is above his name. We agree and accept what the apostle said. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The angel said twice to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. At the time that Jesus' name is given, little is known of his person. His was a name only prophecy beheld. Though the name Yeshua was known as a common Hebrew name, the name that the angel gave to Jesus wasn't just Yeshua, it was Yeshua, meaning Savior Yeshua. He gave a meaning to the name which changed the name. No other name was given in those days that had the connotation, that had the adaptation, that was connected to the name Messiah. There was only one. They knew there would only be one. They looked forward to it. Isaiah prophesied so much more than any, even though Micah's prophecy of Bethlehem is beautiful. And Jeremiah's prophecy of the new covenant that would come through a child is so beautiful. The name of Jesus is Christmas. Matthew's genealogy records in verse 16, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So Jesus is the Christ. I found it interesting when, at 18 years old, I moved away and went to Bible college near Chicago and met all these Spanish people who I fell in love with, so much of their culture and especially their food. But so many of them had little boys named Jesus. And I didn't quite understand. It really is different in many ways. But even those who were named Joshua and Joshua, those names were not ever the same as the one who was named Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. Christ means anointed, the anointed one. It is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Messiah, the official name of the Lord. Jesus is his human name. Christ is his prophetic name. And friend is who he wants to be to you today. God brought the Messiah to man, born of woman, begotten not of natural birth, but of supernatural birth. Therefore, he is our Emmanuel. God with us, God with man. So in his name, in the name of Jesus, the one and only born of a virgin, is all of this truth of God. And why is that? Because he is God. He and the Father are one. And when Mary was given and conceived of the Holy Spirit, that beautiful seed, the Son of Man, was then to be born, who is God with us. So Jesus' name, above every other name, the most significant name ever given. Somebody has said in the song, just the mention of his name brings peace. Just the mention of his name can still the waters. Just a mention of his name can put off the anxiety and the fear that so many feel if we just use and mention and lift up and say out loud the name of Jesus. Let's try it. Jesus. Say it. Jesus. Say it again.
Jesus.
There's just nothing like it. You just can't come up with another name and have it bring such beauty and truth and magnitude with it, the name of Jesus. Well, Christmas is Jesus time. That's what it is, Christ time, the time of Christ, the time when Christ was born, the time when we choose to celebrate. Now, was he really born on December 25th? Nobody knows the answer to that. I agree with some theologians that Jesus was probably born closer to lambing season in Palestine, the time when the lambs were born. But since we don't know the exact day and the exact time, it's not wrong for us to take a time and to dedicate all of what we do for Christmas in his name at that time. It's not so much important the time as it is the who. Would you agree with me there? That who we celebrate is more important than what day we celebrate it. But when you choose and have chosen that day, make sure you celebrate Jesus. I would say that, unfortunately, Christmas for so many people, this is so unfortunate, and this is so how the devil works, is a difficult time for many people. Christmas is a depressing time. An article written by the director of the California Department of Mental Hygiene says the Christmas season is marked by greater emotional stress and more acts of violence than at any other time of the year. It goes on to say Christmas is an excuse to get drunk for some people. For some people, it's trying to give something so that they would give something. For some, it's an opportunity to get time off work. For some, it's simply an opportunity to get out of school. For some, it's just an excuse to spend money. For some, it's an opportunity simply to just overeat and call messes. But for the church, Christmas is time to celebrate. We have been given the greatest gift ever given. And our heart fills with love. And don't you feel that excitement when you enter into even a shopping place when they're playing good Christian music, good Christmas music? And you see lights, and you hear the sounds, and you smell a little bit of the evergreen. All of those things should bring to you the understanding that it is time to celebrate Jesus. A little boy and girl were singing their favorite Christmas carol in church one Sunday before Christmas. The boy concluded that Silent Night should be sung, and what he heard was the ending was Asleep in Heavenly Beams. But his sister said, no, that's incorrect. It's peas, Sleep in Heavenly Peas, not beans. But don't you love the spirit of Christmas? The excitement, the anticipation. I was talking to somebody recently, trying to remember, which is not hard for me to do, especially when you have little feet in your house, how that Christmas seemed to take forever to get there when you were little, right? Now we're kind of like, hold on, I got more shopping to do. Hold on, more time. So it's a whole different thing in our perspective as we grow old. But isn't it exciting to see people excited about Christmas? It really is. So our attempt to celebrate the season which bears his name would tempt to hide and conceal his name. I don't know if I'm running out of battery here or what's going on with there. I think I hear my mic cutting in and out, that kind of thing. But I promise it's not belching or anything, I promise you, okay? I think it really literally has something to do with the device, okay? So let's make sure that we do what we're supposed to do with Jesus' name. Let's look back at Joseph. And let's see, you still got your Bibles open in Matthew? Let's look at that. Look at verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. This is Joseph. The Bible says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. So Joseph goes to bed. And I'm sure you can agree with me here, he's not falling asleep. And why isn't he falling asleep? Because his espoused wife, his engaged, loving, beautiful wife, who's they're not yet consummated their marriage and they haven't had the celebration. And in those days, they went about a year for the husband to prepare everything and to get everything ready. And the wife did all, or the espoused wife did all the things to get herself ready. Believe it or not, it was very customary for the husband to give the opposite betrothal. He would give to her parents money, because in those days, the wife at 18 years old or 17 or 16 or 15 did a whole lot of carrying water, did a whole lot of work when you grew up in those days, especially in an environment of farming and that kind of culture. Every little hand was important. And so if this man comes to take this girl away from her father and family, then they've just taken away somebody who was helping put food on the table. So Joseph was saving money, earning money, getting a home ready, getting ready to give a reverse dowry to her parents for all of that. All that's being done, and she comes home and says, Joseph, we got to talk. I met somebody today. You met somebody today? Tell me about this guy you met. Well, he's really big and strong and mighty and had a real deep voice. Really? Where did you see him at? Well, I was just doing my business and he just kind of appeared out of the clouds. What? What kind of guy? Well, it was an angel of the Lord. But can you imagine a scenario where she would say, I've got some news for you and you're not going to like it? Well, what did the angel said? Well, that's kind of hard to tell you. Well, Mary, don't you hold anything. We don't hold anything from each other. Okay, well, here's what he said. He said that I'm highly favored and that God has chosen me to bear the Messiah. Back up, Mary. I think I heard you say something, but I'm sure that's not what I heard you say. Tell me again what he said. Put yourself in his shoes. Well, Joseph, bottom line is, I'm pregnant. And I can assure you, that's all Joseph heard. So when he went to bed that night, he couldn't go to sleep. And if you read the text closely, you find out he wasn't sleeping. God had to put him to sleep. And as Joseph put his head to the pillow and writhed back and forth, thinking, what in the world do I do now? This cannot be. Because in our culture, if this were to happen, it's very probable that the espoused man's family would come against the espoused woman's family, possibly, according to Old Testament law, take her outside the city, and she could very well be stoned to death. So now you know why Joseph is pondering all these things in his heart. This was a lot to ponder. What do I do about the house? What will I do about our dreams? They're all shattered. It's over. There's nothing else I can do but to be at the mercy of my family and of her family and all the joy and all the dreams of me having this beautiful bride. Those dreams are gone. Until possibly the same angel, we don't know the name, shows up. And wherever and however Joseph sees and experiences this as he goes into a deep sleep, I can only imagine hearing the voice from an angelic being, stirring him, awakening him in his senses, and telling him, the Lord, message for you, Joseph, thou son of David, God knows who you are. God knows where you are. And of course, I imagine the thought could have jumped into Joseph's mind. Well, then he knows what I'm going through. And then the angel says these two words, fear not. Well, we see that all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Every time, and you would do it too. If you saw an angel come through the clouds, or if you were in a sleep and you felt somebody was talking to you and it was an angelic voice and the picture or the physical stature of this person was enormous maybe or larger than life, you would fear and that would be your immediate response too. But the angel says, fear not. But he doesn't say, fear not to be anxious. Don't fear not to be this or be that. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Well, that was what he was struggling with. So he said, fear not to do it. And for that phrase, I want to lead you into 4 points this morning for us not to fear. Number one, fear not to embrace God's word. That's what he said. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream saying, is it important to pay attention to what the Lord says? Especially when you're fearful, especially when your world just got turned upside down. Especially when you can't figure it out. The Lord has already figured it out. Fear not to embrace God's word. Joseph wasn't sleeping. God had put him asleep in order to give him this message in such a way that he would know that that it was directly from God. Listen, it was fear that was keeping Joseph awake. It was fear causing him to agonize about the right thing to do. He was considering, and you need to understand this, when the Bible says he was considering to put her away privately, do you realize that that meant divorcing her? That wasn't just, well, we got to go find the justice of the peace real quick, get this over with, because then if you're found 9 months later to have a baby, then we'll be able to have an excuse. No, that couldn't happen. He was contemplating doing what was traditionally accepted to do in this kind of situation, and that was literally to put her away. Wash his hands of her, go away, and look for somebody else. In thinking about that, he wasn't an unjust man. In thinking about that, he wasn't a godly man. In thinking about that, he wasn't trying to be right with God. In thinking about that, that was so normal. That's what almost anybody, everybody else would have done at that time. But the angel said, fear not to do what you're considering doing, but do what the Lord is telling you to do. Fear not to embrace God's word. Joseph was leaning on his fear, but trying to do the right thing. But I want to say, I'm very glad today that fear didn't win out in this story. That he listened to the angel, that he listened to the Lord, and that he made a decision right away to do that which God told him to do, and not that which would get him out of trouble. Don't we make so many decisions that are easy on us? We do things that make it easy on us. Can I tell you, Joseph made a decision that made it very hard on him. He couldn't change what had happened to Mary, but he could make a decision that would relieve him of any more embarrassment, relieve him from any more duty or responsibility. He didn't allow fear to make his plans for him. In verse 19, the Bible says, Joseph was a just man, not willing to make her a public example. He didn't want her to be looked down upon. He didn't want her to be shamed. And therefore, not only doing that which the Lord told him to do, but becoming accepting of the idea that, well, you know what? If I do what God wants, he'll take care of any of those things. How important is it that we will to do that which is right? How important is it that the desire of our heart matches the desire of God's heart? The Bible says in John, if we do that as we're abiding in him, we'll ask what we will, and it will be done unto us. So your prayers are answered when your will matches God's will. And when your will is what God's will is, God comes through in beautiful, wonderful ways. So Joseph's will matched God's, and fear was not the factor. After Joseph listened to the angel and swallowed his fear, he learned who the real father was. Now you have to understand at the first part here, David, or Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Shouldn't the thought have been, but wait a minute, I got to see that other guy first. We got to take care of business. Because the angel didn't say at first, that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. He just said, Joseph, don't do what you were going to do. Do that which is right in the sight of the Lord and take Mary to be thy wife. Wouldn't have been the normal thought, fellas, to find out who the other guy was first? Angel, I tell you what, you give me a day or two to find out who this rascal was. And then if we can work it out, then I'll come back and tell you what. If that's not what happened. He listened, he put his fear on check, he swallowed hard, he said, okay. And then the angel said, now, that which is conceived in her is not a natural birth. That which is conceived in her had nothing to do with another man. That which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Whew. Surely Joseph had something that took away his fear and gave him trust in the Word of God. Can I say this? God will bail you out by His Word. The Word of God will be your salvation if you will listen to it. I've taught the book of Proverbs to teenagers and in a school setting, teaching the book of Proverbs to teenage boys who have their hormones going crazy and who are tempted to do all the things that the world, but yet the Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly. And the whole book of Proverbs is comparing the wise against the foolish and the foolish against the simple. And these kinds of people in a world today, how do we do what's right to do? Well, I can tell you, this is what's right to do, right here. And when the word of the Lord comes to you, and when you see it black and white, and when you hear it with your ears, you are to fear not to do that which God has given you to do, because the Holy Ghost has inspired it. God's word is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and it is God-breathed, and we have that. So fear not to do what the Bible says. So after you face your fears, you can face the facts. But you won't be able to face the facts until you face your fears. So Joseph faced his fear, and then the angel said, fear not. Okay, all right, I'm going to listen. I'm going to put the fear off to the side, and then I'm going to give you the facts. Oh, okay. But you'll not do what the Bible tells you to do if fear rules you. If fear reigns in your heart, you will not do what God wants you to do. Be courageous, dear Christian. God's worked it all out, and He will work it all out for His glory and, yes, for your benefit. But you have to trust Him with all your heart, and don't lean into that fear, and don't not do what God wants you to do because it's so hard. Let God work out the details. You know, fear conjures up falsity. Fear tells you, well, I know the Bible says this, but you know what? That was 2,000 years ago or longer. Fear conjures up falsity. Fear tells you that you can't. Facts tell you that you can. Fear tells you what to think. Facts tells you what to know. Fear plants seeds of doubt that grow faster than reality. Do not allow fear to keep you from the truth. Faith can move a mountain. Fear will bury you. Read your Bible for Christmas. I don't know if you have this tradition. If not, make it one. Before you open up any presents this year, let me just give this to you. You and your wife. Or if you're by yourself, take your Bible out and open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Skip the genealogies if you want and get into verse 18 like we did today and read the rest of that chapter. Or go to Luke and pretend you're Charlie Brown maybe. And read that all over again. Because in doing so, you're honoring the Lord on His birthday. Isn't it all about Him? So read your Bible on Christmas. Fear not to embrace the word of God. Number two, fear not to embrace the name of Jesus. Fear not to embrace the name of Jesus. And verse 21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now that was a big deal. What do you call a child that you didn't sire? What do you call a child that's not born from you? You got to understand the husbands, that was a big deal. Remember the whole thing with Zacharias and the baby being born John and Zacharias speaking up and God tying his tongue and he couldn't speak again until the baby was born and he called him John and then God loosed his tongue. Why? Is it important? The name describes the person. People know you by your name. Oh, you mean so-and-so? No. So-and-so from this area. Oh, that so-and-so. They know you by your name. Fear not to embrace the name of Jesus. He wanted, can you imagine Joseph? He wanted a junior, right? He and Mary had talked about having kids. Probably had talked about what they're going to name him. But now this wasn't their choice. It was God coming to earth, and he was to be named Jesus. He wanted a family name, but maybe he wanted a more modern name for his son, but He said, thou shalt call his name. It's a commandment. So what shall we call our Savior? Jesus. What name above all other names? Well, I call him Christ. That's wonderful. But call him Jesus. Well, I call him Savior. Super wonderful. But call him Jesus. Well, I call him Emmanuel. Wonderful. I call him the Spirit. Wonderful. And I call him my helper and my guide. Wonderful. But whatever you do, call him Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's how we keep Christ in Christmas. People know about Christmas, but they might not know about Jesus. The angel told Joseph that God had promised Israel great promises. Jeremiah 31 had taught the Jews that God said that a new covenant would come. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So Mary and Joseph looked forward to that. In verse 22, the Bible says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, the major prophet, who had already given us these words, the prophet Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So the angel said, Joe, embrace his name. It's a big deal. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And his name will be above every name. And at his name, people will come for salvation. Embrace his name. I don't have it here today, but at home I have two or three hats that say FBI on it. And when you first look at it, it's, oh my goodness, is it official? Yeah, firm believer in Jesus Christ is what it says. Our church, we have ordered shirts for years and years and years, and one of the best ones I wore it a couple times this week simply has the word Jesus on. Happens to be purple, so don't get mad at me, guys. But sometimes we don't identify ourselves with his name as much as maybe we should. So fear not to embrace his name. Number three, quickly, fear not to make Christmas about what it's supposed to be. Now hold on. Look at verse 21. What does it say it's supposed to be about? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know what Christmas is about? Pastor, it's about giving gifts and toys for the kids and family get-togethers. I'm going to tell you, it really has nothing to do with that. It has all to do with salvation. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And we have the nativity, and we have the drawings, and we have the memories, and we have all the beautiful things, because Jesus came for what purpose? To save the world from sin. That's why he came. So, after I've embraced the name of Jesus, I need to embrace the purpose for Christmas. What is that? Salvation. I would say that most Christian homes this year will leave out this aspect. We'll leave it out. Salvation is the reason for the season. It's the reason. Listen, what good is it for a family to give gifts to one another, to drink some eggnog and have a party and have a good time, put up a tree, decorate it, drawings and decorations and all this, and never, ever, ever even consider where they will spend eternity? It's the same as what good is it if you feed a man a meal and fill up his belly, but he dies and goes to hell. Jesus said it'd be better for you to pluck your eye out and go to heaven with one eye. It's my testimony, amen? Than to have two eyes and go to hell. It's better to cut your arm off if your arm is offending you, keeping you from being humiliated or humbling yourself enough to come to Jesus. It's better for you to go to heaven almost deformed than to get there and to get a new body than to go to hell perfectly whole. What good is it for America to celebrate Christmas and not understand that Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming, being born of a virgin, living sinless, dying vicariously? If we leave out the salvation, haven't we left out the reason for Christmas? Christ is Jehoshua. His name means Savior. So if you celebrate Christmas but you leave out the Savior part, haven't we done a disservice to Christ? We give gifts because he gave us himself. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God isn't happiness on this earth. Boy, thank God for that, because that flees real fast, doesn't it? The gift of God doesn't just get us over our problem for today. The gift of God settled eternity's question. What do we do with our sin? Where will we spend eternity? And because of salvation, we have Christmas. So I brought today the greatest Christmas gift with me. Now, this isn't yours. This is mine. This is my Christmas gift. Jesus has given himself. This is my Christmas gift. Are you interested in seeing what's in it? Would you like to see what's in my gift? No, I'll tell you next week. You want to see it now? Really? Really? Okay, you twisted my arm. All right. You twisted it quietly. Come on now. In my beautiful Christmas, bless you. In the Christmas gift that Jesus has given to me, this is what's in it. Look at this. Oh, look at this. A certificate of birth to certify that James Edward Caskey is born again into the kingdom of God. March 23rd, 1974, Ridgewood Baptist Church at 12:07 p.m. Now, I'm guessing on that one. Signed, Jehovah God. Wow. So Christmas is more than just trinkets and cookies and candy. Yeah. I got a certificate of birth here that says that I'm a child of God, a date and a time. Jesus said you must be born again. Because of Christmas, I have that. Hallelujah. I want to say glory to God today that he would save a wretch like me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, but that's not all. In this beautiful gift that the Lord has given me, look at this. I have a title deed. This deed certifies that James Edward Caskey is sole owner of said mansion on 777 Glory Avenue. Property was paid in full on March 23rd, 1974 at 12:07 p.m. by purchaser and redeemer, Jesus Christ the righteous. Wow. Look at that. Not only am I officially a child of God and have my spiritual birth certificate, I have a title deed to heaven, my heavenly home, a mansion. Woohoo! I won't have to do any repairs on it. I won't have to paint it. I don't even know that I'll have to sweep it and clean it. Or pay it. Title deed. Wait a minute, that's not all. Would you like to see what else the Lord has given? In this box is a receipt of inheritance. I've been given an inheritance. Wow. This receipt certifies that James Edward Caskey has been gifted the following: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. James has now this assurance and receipt of ownership. If we live in the Spirit, we shall also walk in the Spirit. This gift was given and imparted on, you probably guessed it, March 23rd, 1974 at 12:07 p.m. by the Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. Certificate of birth, title deed to heaven, receipt of inheritance. Oh, there's something else in there. Would you like to see? No, you don't want to see it. You do? Really? My free get out of hell card. Free get out of hell card. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wow. I better keep this on my person at all times. When the old death angel comes, nope, look what I got. Now listen, folks, If you have been saved, you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, the Savior. There is only one name that can bring salvation to you. There is only one person who came as a virgin and lived sinless. There is only one Redeemer. And what he did for you, it all began on that day in Matthew chapter 1. And when Mary was given that seed of God by the Holy Ghost, she then 9 months later gave birth to Jesus, and we celebrate that. If you celebrate Christmas and if you do not yet have the gift of eternal life, it's just another holiday for you. But for me, it's a celebration. I've been given a gift, and I cherish that a whole lot more than some wrapping paper, some flowers, a Christmas tree, a time off of work, or all the other reasons that the world chooses to use. And I would say this, we all have been given that same gift. So lift your head up. Do not feel sorrow anymore as you think about heaven. And as you struggle on this earth, and as you go through the difficulties of the times and the days, there's coming a day when your body will be left here and your soul will go to heaven, and so shall you. Fear not to make Christmas about salvation. And lastly, fear not to be his people. You see, the last part of the verse says, He said to Joseph, he said, fear not to be the people of God. That's what he said, verse 25. And ye shall bring forth a son that shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, of course, if you were Jewish, you might take some selfish, carnal pride in who your ancestry was. But then again, you'd have to kind of swallow deeply and talk about Rahab for a minute. You see, Rahab was not a Jew. Remember? Rahab, the harlot. Remember? Children of Israel crossed Jericho, the first big city, or crossed Jordan, and the first big city, Jericho, was waiting for them. And that was such a big city that they could race chariots around it on top of the wall. And there were homes on top of the walls of Jericho for the poorer people. And in one of those apartments, one of those homes, was a woman who had given her life over to seducing men for profit. And her name was Rahab. But when God's people went in to spy out the land, and they needed some temporary shelter, she brought them in and showed favor to them and hid them in the attic amongst the straw. And when the people and the soldiers or the centurions who came looking for these spies, I don't know what you're talking about. And she showed them favor. And so God showed her favor and said, God's going to destroy the wall and the city and everybody in it unless you take a scarlet thread and hang over the side of the wall. I love that because it's such a great comparison to what God did in Egypt. When God said to all the children of Israel, tonight will be the Passover night, and you got to take the blood of an innocent lamb, and you have to take a hyssop weed, and you have to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the door. And then God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. You see, all of us who get to go to heaven, we get passed over by the blood of Jesus Christ, which saves us. So she hung that beautiful red thread over the side, and when God said, I'm going to fell the wall, I'm going to destroy it, one part of the wall stayed intact, and that was where Rahab was. And she escaped alive with the children of Israel. And then asked God's forgiveness for her sin. God allowed her to marry a Hebrew. And they had a child who had a child who had a child that we know of in the lineage of Christ. And so it wasn't just Rahab. It wasn't just her. What about Ruth? A Moabitess. They lived in a culture of idolatry. She and her family worshipped idols. But yet, because of a famine and God moving Abimelech and Naomi in their direction, meeting her son, got married. But then the son died. Now she's a widow. But she looks at Naomi, her mother-in-law, and says, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And wherever you lodge, I'm going to lodge. And your people will be my people. And that statement got honored as they moved back into Palestine. And Naomi gently told her to glean in the fields and told her that there might be a certain handsome man out there working in the fields. Make sure that you are within distance of him. Sometimes women have a clever way of setting the stage, huh? And God helped introduce Boaz to Ruth. And Ruth became the grandmother of King David. Was that accidental? Does God know how to take somebody who's not a people of God and put them in the family of God? What a beautiful thing God does. For he shall save his people from their sins. Are you a people of God? Fear not to be his people. Yeah, Christians are peculiar. Praise God. We're not better than anybody else, but I know what things. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven. And we can walk around with our head high, not because we're better than anybody, but because we have somebody who's better than all of us, who has received us unto himself, that where he is, there he may be also. Where is that, Pastor? In heaven, where all the people of God end up. All the people of God end up. The Pharisees were giving Jesus a hard time one time, just lying and being mean. And Jesus said, you're of your father. You're of your people, the devil. That's what he said to the Pharisees. You're of your father, the devil. You see, the devil's got his people, and God has his people. Which people are yours? If you're not to be his people. God's people are his church, the bride, the body of Christ, local assemblies. Fear not, church, to embrace the name of Jesus. Fear not, church, to embrace Christmas concerning salvation. And fear not, church, to be the church of the living God. And it all started in Bethlehem. And when Mary was gifted the seed of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph was told what had happened, he resigned his fear to faith. In verse 25, and Joseph knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Would you bow your heads, please? Now, dear Lord, I have done what you have commissioned me to do, what you have called me to do, and I've presented and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ to these dear folks. And Lord, with this message that you have put upon my heart and my mind, Lord, I now must just leave it to you, Holy Spirit. Have we embraced being the people of God? Lord, help us not to be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.